Welcome this morning to the services of the Lord's house. Let us begin our worship with the singing of our opening hymn, Thee Will I Love, My Strength, My Tower.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, October 13th, 2024 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Josh and Rachel Welker and Robert Clem. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 694, Thee Will I Love, My Strength, My Tower, hymn number 694, found in the Lutheran Service Book. Doug, Deborah, Deanna, and Mike Rose are sponsoring the flowers on the altar today to the glory of God and memory of their grandparents, Harold and Rebecca Rose. Mike and Kina Rose are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of their 22nd wedding anniversary on October 20th.
Let us please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom.
Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants.
Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil.
Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, of your work in your hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
God on high. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, whose grace always precedes and follows us, help us to forsake all trust in earthly gain and to find in you our heavenly treasure. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of Amos, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph and devour it with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth, they hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions, and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe, who turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Apostles' Creed, what is the third article? Sanctification. The Holy Christian Church.
The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What does this mean?
I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. This is the Christian church. He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
The epistle reading from Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he said to him, Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. If there are any children who'd like to come forward for the children's message this morning, please feel free to do so at this time. Sam. Hey, this is a cross, isn't it? Good morning. Hey, Sam, no, it's a cross. It's a cross. And it says on the cross, Jesus. That's what it says on the cross. Now, I have taken the liberty this morning of taking a little magnet and putting a magnet on the bottom of the cross. And I've got some nails in my hand here. So if I take the nails and I put them up to the magnet, what happens? It stays. They just stay right on there. It's like Jesus and us. Jesus from the cross is drawing us to him. He pulls us to him so that we will be with him and by him all of our lives. Not just our lives, but even into eternal life. Now, we've got this here. And, of course, Jesus is drawing us to the cross. But if I take the cross here, and I take this, little piece of Lego here, and I put it at the bottom of the cross, and I hold it there, and I take the nail, and I stick it on the bottom, it falls. Okay, without something in between the magnet and the nail, the nails. Connect. But if I put something in between, they fall.
You could put them on the, put the nails on the Lego piece and then put the cross underneath.
Do you know what, Sam? You're right. See, if we let something get in between us and Jesus, well, then we have something that's not connecting us to Jesus. It was like that rich man, the rich young man in our Bible reading for this morning. He wanted to follow Jesus and serve Jesus, but Jesus knew there was something that was in between this man and serving Jesus. And what was in between this man and serving Jesus was his money. his wealth, and he wasn't willing to give up his money to go and serve Jesus. He wasn't willing to give up his possessions to go and serve Jesus. He wasn't willing to give up the gifts that God had given him so that he could go and serve Jesus. So there was something in between him and Jesus. But what did Samuel just say? Samuel said something very important. Sam, you said, if we take the nails that represent us and we put them on top of what God has given us to use to serve him, so that we use it to serve him, then what happens? They go on. So we don't want things to be in between us and Jesus, but we want to use the things that God gives us, our time, our talents, our treasures. We want them to be underneath us, supporting us, and bringing us with them to Jesus, so that not only we, but all of our gifts can be put into service in Jesus' kingdom. And that is what we desire. We desire that we serve in God's kingdom, whether as a faithful laborer, a pastor, a teacher, an accountant, a construction worker, a firefighter, all using our talents to serve Christ in the place where he has put us to serve him. So remember, Jesus wants to draw us to him, and we want nothing to be in between us and Jesus. Or a policeman. Yeah, a policeman can serve God too in what he does. As a matter of fact, the motto of policemen is to serve and protect. And so they serve God by serving and protecting us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to draw all people unto himself. And we ask that you would allow nothing to get between us and Jesus, so that we would have anything more important than our Lord and our Savior. In that same Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, kids, for coming down. If you would, please go back to your seats, and we continue with the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 683, Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me. Hymn number 683 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text this morning from the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Take care, the third chapter, the 12th verse. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So as Christians, we have a very definite goal in mind for the outcome of our faith. And that goal is eternal life, the promised land, as it were. It's good to remember that we're not here to in church on a Sunday morning specifically to have our battery charged for the rest of the week. We're not here to, necessarily to get instruction on how to be better people. Now, don't get me wrong. Both of those things are good and they're fine and they're nice and they're byproducts of the reason why we are in worship, why we are here to hear the word and receive the word of God. And the reason is that we are here to confess our sins. We are here to receive the forgiveness of our sins. We are here to have our faith in Jesus Christ strengthened so that we might come to the resurrection and to life everlasting. That's our goal. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what we're looking toward. And the purpose of faith in Christ is to lead us to eternal life. Now, we think about marriage for a second, right? Christ is the groom, the church is the bride, and the church produces many offspring, right? So it's a reflection of marriage. Christian families, husband and wife together, having children so that they might raise their children in the nurture and instruction of the Lord. It is an important thing that each and one of us do, train our children in righteousness as followers of Jesus, so that our children too would come to eternal life. And yes, it is goes without saying that it is very distressing to see fellow believers in Christ fall by the wayside on the journey to the promised land. Now, remember, our promised land isn't heaven. Yes, you heard that right. Our promised land isn't heaven. Heaven will be a wonderful place. Heaven will be a glorious place, a place that we can't even begin to fathom. And it is true that until the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will continue to, as human beings, live and die in this world, and our flesh and bones will go into the earth to decay and return to the dust from which we were made. When this happens, the soul of a Christian speeds its way to the throne room of God. And when we're in the presence of God, there will be joy and bliss beyond compare. As the scripture states, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We will see our Creator face to face, and we will be in full communion with God just as we were intended to be. And to be certain, our souls with some form of a spiritual body will rejoice in immortality in heaven. So it's wonderful to look forward to that. It is a good place for us to be. But there's more after that, because when Christ returns, there is the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection will occur when Jesus comes in all his glory, and all people will rise from their graves. Believers in Jesus Christ will be reunited with our bodies in beauty and glory. It will be the body of a human being, but it will be a glorified, perfected body, just as it was created to be. And its appearance will be glorified. Now, I don't think we'll eat. I don't think we'll drink. We definitely won't be getting married. Our relationship with each other will be a different type of relationship. We won't have children, but we will put on, as Paul describes it, a new garment made and woven for us by the victory of Jesus Christ. Sin and all its dreadful consequences will be eliminated, and our bodies will be restored to the full glory for which they were intended. That is certainly something to look forward to, the resurrection of the dead, when these bodies will be reunited with our souls and will be glorified. This is the promised land that we so yearn and long for. Sinners and unbelievers will not enter there, for there will be no place for them. In their refusal to believe, the unrepentant, the disbeliever, will lock themselves outside of eternal life. They will be in a place not prepared for mankind, but in a place prepared for the devil and his angels, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Not only that, but they too will have bodies. And they will experience not eternal life, but what is termed the second death. Scripture does not reveal much to us about where the unbelieving soul goes when the rejecter of Christ dies. Suffice it to say that the soul goes not to the glory of the throne room of God, but goes to prison, where there is no light or mercy of God. The day of judgment will come, and the consuming fire of God's wrath will be revealed. Now, remember, Jesus died for all people. He took upon himself the weight of sin for each and every human being that has ever been created, so that all who trust in Christ's work on their behalf will not suffer the wrath of God. The rejecter of God's mercy and forgiveness of sins is in essence saying to God, "No, I'll do this on my own. I will pay for my own sins." Of course, that's impossible for a person to pay for their own sins. But that's what they're saying. They're saying, "I will do it on my own. I do not need the righteousness of Jesus Christ in any way, shape, or form." God shall then let the judgment fall upon them as they wish, they desire, and as they believe. Now, this next part, I think, is my own idea, but it seems to me God did us a great mercy in barring Adam and Eve from the tree of life. If they had partaken of that fruit, then it seems to me that they would not have died. And what would that mean? They would have lived with bodies for all human history, bearing the effects of sin in those bodies, the diseases, the weaknesses, the pains, and the miseries with no relief. That seems to me is what will be the fate of those who reject Christ in the eternal life. Not only will there be wailing and gnashing of teeth and eternal fire and the eternal flame in the lake of fire, utter bitterness of the knowledge of the rejection of their joy in eternal life, which only makes them more embittered and more full of hatred, there will also be the full effects of sin dwelling in their resurrected bodies. So quite the opposite of glory and joy and strength of eternal life under the reign of Christ, well, the opposite of that will be true. Misery, hatred, depression, festering decomposition, along with all the mental torment of knowing glory was your free gift, but you rejected it, and that there is no second chance. This is the result of the sin of unbelief. Now, I say that those are my own words. I can't back that particularly or specifically up from Scripture, but let it suffice us to say and realize it to be more important to spend less time on what the fires and torment of hell is going to be like and more time concerning ourselves on how to avoid ending up in eternal damnation. When pondering the result of the rejection of Christ and his work, it's simply apparent this, that we don't want any of our loved ones to suffer that. We don't want any of our family members, anybody we know, anybody we care about to fall away from Christ. We don't want any of our loved ones to face such an unbearable punishment. Thus, we do not want any of us to have an evil or unbelieving heart hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Because unbelief is sneaky, and unbelief is deceitful. It sneaks up on us when we're not even looking, when we're not watchful for it, we're not careful about it. And it has us in its grasp before we even realize it. That's why the Holy Writer says that the Christian congregation is to be ever vigilant. Be reminded, and be reminded that participation in one evil opens us up to participate in more and more evil. You know, when we participate in evil things, evil behaviors, evil actions, our conscience becomes deadened to these things. And then it seeks out another one to participate in, and another one to participate in. And before we know it, we are lost. There's no doubt of the difficulty of talking to loved ones about this. I mean, I have no doubts about it. I know how difficult it is and how difficult it can be of giving a warning to our loved ones that you fear that they're in danger of eternal fire and that their possibility of eternal death is growing each and every day. It's true that we fear that going to grandkids or kids or spouses or siblings comes with the attendant fear that they will get angry or that they will be pushed further and further away from the church, never to return. Yet what is the alternative? Could it be to watch them slide further and further from the cross? It is the saddest thing in the world to see someone make a good beginning in the Christian faith and then to lose their faith before the end arrives. We see in this the evidence of the deceitfulness of sin, that is, living in open sin, non-attendance at worship, spurning of the sacrament of the altar, even comes with it the unwillingness to suffer for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's sake. Coupled with the allure of worldly enticements such as money, enjoyment, and sometimes, yes, even the avoidance of persecution. The details of each person's deceitful heart, and we all have one. Don't think that, you know, we don't each have a deceitful heart. Each of us do. It's what we're here to receive forgiveness and the strengthening of our faith for, because our hearts are often against us. But each one of us, as an individual, has our own particular argument, justification for our own personal sins and our own follies. Our call then is to combat this unbelief that is dwelling within us and also within the believers at large, that we are to remind our loved ones and even, yes, the whole world of what Christ has won for them. That is eternal life and all good things in the resurrection of the dead. Dear friends in Christ, we wish that no one perish eternally, but all that repent and receive the forgiveness of their sins and come to eternal life through faith in the work that Jesus Christ has done for them. So let this be our aim. Let this continue to be our goal. That is to proclaim Jesus as the Savior of the world, to call people to repentance and faith in Christ, and in Jesus' name, receive the gift of eternal life. In that same Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio over at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org. where you will find the links to the internet stream and to the Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for prayer. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Dear God, we thank you for calling us through your word to be your people, and we thank you for making us your people in the waters of holy baptism. We now beg you to guard and keep us from sin and unbelief. Work mightily through the Holy Spirit so that we would not slide away from the true faith through a lack of faith in the work of your Son, our Savior Jesus, who is the Messiah. In all things, keep us true to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, unto eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers for all those who are in need because of yet another hurricane devastating the state of Florida. As many continue to recover from the last most recent hurricane, even more now seek to rebuild and recover from this second disaster. When in each of our own lives we have an opportunity through prayer or donations to extend a helping hand, grant that we may do so, and through even the smallest of ways, may we be your hands in this world. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God, we continue to pray for the sick and for those who are hurting in body or spirit. We ask you to work through medicines and doctors for the health and well-being of Kevin Ray. Lord, we know Kevin has a long road ahead of him, so please grant not only physical health but also spiritual resilience so that he may be kept from the assaults and deceptions of the evil one, and that he may cling to trust in you, his Creator, for all good things. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, the giver and preserver of life, we come before you with thanksgivings this morning on behalf of Connor and Katie Neitzel, as Katie has given birth to a son, August Alexander Neitzel. Tim and Kathy, O Lord, thank you for this making 12 grandchildren for them. And we thank you that the child, August, has been born healthy and well, and we pray for his continued well-being and that this growing family may stay firm and strong in your word until life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. We also thank you this morning, O Lord, for the 14 years of marriage, or I'm sorry, the 29 years of marriage that you have given unto Stacy and Tracy McConnell that they will celebrate tomorrow. We thank you that they have been blessed with a great family of 4 children and that you have continued to bestow upon them your blessings of life and salvation. Be with the McConnell family, O Lord, these many years, and continue to be with them as they grow in love towards one another and faith towards you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, as we are coming closer to the observance of the festival of the Reformation, we ask that you would keep our church body ever on the path of right doctrine and true teaching, so that your gospel would never fade from among us, but rather be kept as first and foremost in our teaching and faith lives. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, in this election year for our nation and our states, we ask that the intensity of the campaigning would not lead to violence. We pray also that you would work mightily to turn the tide of contention in our nation to one of respectful competition in the realm of ideas, and that as elections wrap up, both winners and losers would be gracious in the victories and the defeats. Lord, in your mercy. These and all other petitions we bring before your throne of grace and mercy, praying the prayer your Son taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is hymn number 918, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, hymn number 918, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. Have some extra announcements this morning. First of all, there is no youth group today. I got a note earlier this week, a text from Randy and Mary Simmer. They're looking for a good home for a dining room table and chairs. So they've apparently got new ones, and they're looking just not to throw one away, but give one away. So if you have a relative or a child who's moving out, getting an apartment or a house or something like that, and need a dining room and chairs, see me and I'll get you Mary's number so you can get in contact with her. Also, I've got a note here from the Sunday school. It says, for October, November, and December, the Sunday school will have a new mission project. Because of the hurricanes Helene and Milton doing so much damage in Florida, we are donating money through Lutheran World Relief. Mission Sunday is the fourth Sunday of each month. All Sunday school offerings given that day will be sent to this mission project. If you would like to write a check, make it payable to Zion Lutheran Sunday School, and we will write one check at the end of December, or make the check payable to Lutheran World Relief. Please write Hurricane Response on the memo line. If it does not work for you to make your donation on Mission Sunday, please give your check to Rod or Peggy Meyer, Sarah Schwantz, or Sharon Jones on another Sunday. You can also donate online by going to www.lwr.org. So there's an opportunity to help those needing relief from the devastation of the hurricanes. Mrs. Rage, do you have Fall Fest announcements to make? If you would, that would help greatly. I think I should ask the gentleman in the radio room to turn up the lectern.
Okay, we're good now. Good morning, everyone. So next week on Saturday, so I guess still this week here on Saturday, is the ZLS Family Fall Fest. It's from 5 to 7 p.m. at Zion Lutheran School. We have tickets available. Today is the last day to get them. So I put Olivia and asked Ellie, who's out of Zion now, but asked her to still help, to help sell tickets for one more day. So if you'd like to purchase tickets, please find Olivia outside. Even more than tickets, we still need support for both the cakewalk and the pie and cake auction. So if you love to bake, we'd love your donations for both of those. Or if you love to support the school, you can come and bid on those items during the pie and cake auction. That auction will be at 6 p.m. on Saturday, so you can come and get your meal first. It's catered by Peggy's Place, and then do the auction afterwards. This is not just for Zion Church and Zion School families. This is for all families in the community. So if you have neighbors that you think would enjoy the opportunity to do a campfire, we're going to have a fire outside with s'mores, some fun fall activities for kids, and just some good fellowship, this is a great opportunity to invite them to come see our school. So please grab your tickets, and we hope to see you on Saturday.
Thank you. Also this morning, in between services over in the auditorium, the stewardship committee has put together a Pastor Appreciation Sunday breakfast over there, so everybody's invited to stay in the auditorium to have a breakfast sponsored by the stewardship committee. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.